you've been following along with us over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about this whole thing called life, and not just life normally, but life that Jesus gives us. And he kind of uses this little Greek word called Zoe, and that is to describe specifically the life that Jesus gives us. So every week I've kind of opened with something interesting. I just kind of Google life stats and see what comes up. Anybody know what the number one best place to live in Iowa is? University Heights. I got to ask this, okay? How many of you have ever heard of University Heights? Because my hand's up because I've never heard of it, okay? So if you have, you are way smarter than me. Way to go, okay? It is a suburb of Cedar Rapids. And the reason it is number one, because I'm like, would you think you'd heard of number one? I'm just thinking. I thought I would hear about that somewhere, okay? The reason it's number one is because, I'm just going to be honest, it's rich, okay? It's rich, okay? Now, I'm just going to guarantee, now, I don't know a lot about everybody. I'm going to guarantee us most of us won't be able to live there, okay? The median house is $300,000. The median rent, the average rent is $1,500 a month, okay? It's just very affluent. There's about 1,200 people that live there, very rich, very wealthy, and that's why it's number one. I'm like, well, isn't that great, okay? I didn't look up where Indianola ranked, okay? Didn't do that. Just thought, well, this is interesting because their view of life is if you're wealthy, if you have money, if you have lots of things, boy, you have a good life. You have a good life. But Jesus came to give something very different than that. This whole thing we've been looking at called Zoe life, the life that Jesus came to give. And we've been looking at individuals who have missed this life. And perhaps you and I, we are missing out on this life as well. That's been our question. And we've been looking at people who have been missing out on this life. So remember, first week was Nick or Nicodemus. That Zoe's always missed when duty and rule-keeping replaces a relationship with Jesus, okay? Always miss it when we just get into duty and rule-keeping, and that kind of supersedes this idea that I can have a relationship with Jesus. Last week, this whole idea of Jesus encountering the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, was that she started worshiping something else other than the Creator. It happens. We worship created things and not the Creator. That's what idolatry looks like. It looks very different in 2021. People don't have little statues of Baal or the other gods we looked at, Chemosh, Molech. They don't have those laying around. But when a good thing becomes a God thing, that's always a bad thing. Okay? So this week we're going to find the story, the narrative of the royal official. So John chapter 4, if you have your Bibles. We're still in John 4 from last week because there is this narrative that John tells us about a royal official. Now, all depending on your translation, some of your translations are going to call him a nobleman, a servant, but really the language, and you're going to see this here, is that this guy probably served King Herod, okay? He had a role in King Herod's court, and so he was the best title to use for him, a royal official. And we're going to see his story. His story is really powerful, and I think it's going to help us understand something that might be missing from our walk of faith with Jesus, something that we might be missing out on in this thing called Zoe life, okay? Because here's what I need to know before we jump into this. In understanding the life Jesus came to give, faith is an essential part. So we need to have a discussion about faith this morning because faith is this essential part of the life that Jesus came to give. And if we don't understand what that is, and if we're not sure what that looks like, we might be missing out on this thing called life. So here we go. John chapter 4, verses 46 to 54 is this narrative about the royal official. So here we go. Now he came again, that's Jesus, to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. So we've gone back, chapter 2 in John, if you've ever read that narrative, they're saying he went back to that town and was back there ministering. In Capernaum, this is about 20 miles away, so think Altoona, okay, if that will help you this morning, okay? That Jesus is here in Indianola. The official is in Altoona. There are no cars. There are no quick ways of transportation. There's basically walking. And on top of it just being from here to Altoona, you just got to consider a huge elevation change, that it took more than a day to go from Cana to Capernaum. So there's travel involved in here. It's not like the next town. And that's why you're going to see how important that is to understanding the story. So in Capernaum, 20 miles away, there's a certain royal official whose son was sick. When he heard that Jesus had come back from Judea to Galilee, he went to him. So he makes this journey. Takes him over a day, day and a half, whatever, to make that journey to Cana because he hears Jesus is there, and this is the answer to all their problems about their son. Okay? All we got to do is get to Jesus, and we got to get Jesus back to our place in Capernaum, and this is going to solve all our problems. So he goes to him and he begs him. He begs him. You understand, this is a royal official. People understand that he has probably wealth and stature based on what he is dressed like, and he is here begging Jesus to come down, and this is what he wanted to do, come down and heal his son who was about to die. You need to come with me, Jesus would have told him, okay, because we need to go and we need to, you need to come to my house, you got to heal my son, he is going to die unless you come to my house and fix all of this, okay? So that's what he wants him to do, pretty simple request. So Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. Now, this is not 3 years in. This is like a few miracles in, okay? This is not even far removed from the water into wine, which is the first miracle. This is not very far from there, okay? And he's already saying, you know, unless I do more and more stuff for you, unless there's more and more miracles, I don't know if you're ever going to believe. Unless there's more and you all come to me, well, do this and then I'll believe. But do this and then I'll believe. Do this and then I'll believe. It was all these prerequisites to, I'll believe you're Messiah, but you need to do these things for me. So unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe. Maybe for us today, we would say, well, unless Jesus, you answer my prayers the way I want them answered, I'm not sure I'm going to believe. I'm not sure I'm going to trust you. I'm not sure I will make you Lord of my life unless you do what I want you to do. So, official, he's not even stunned by this. Sir, the official said to him, come down before my child dies. I don't understand the signs and wonders stuff. Forget about that, okay? You just need to come to my house because my son is going to die. This is desperate. You got to help me do this. And so, right, he just starts begging again. Watch this. Jesus told him, go home, your son will live. Now, I don't know if you do this when you read scripture. I just had to throw up a stop sign. Wait a minute, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not what he asked for. That's not what he asked for. Jesus, you got to come with me. We're going to make the day and a half journey. We're going to get to Capernaum. You're going to walk into my house, and you're going to see my son, and you're going to heal him. That's how this works. And Jesus says what? No, just go home. Your son will live. Go home, your son will live. Because in between here, Jesus is trying to get the royal official to do what often he wants us to do, and that is to trust him. If he just does whatever people want, whenever they want, where is the avenue of trust and faith in this? Okay? I relate to this guy. Because here's what I want. And I don't know if you're there or if you've been here before. I want a God guarantee. I do. I have a tendency to drag my feet in big situations. Big decisions need to be made. Because I just want God to guarantee it. Much like a car, okay? That, God, this is going to work out. And it's not that it's going to work out the way God wants it to work out. Can we just be honest? I want God to give me the outcome I want. This is my problem. I want God to give me the outcome I want. So I'm very slow making big decisions because, well, God, you've got to guarantee this, right? I don't know if I want a slip of paper to fall from heaven. I don't know. But I want a guarantee in this. I want a guarantee that you're going to give me the outcome I want. The only problem with this is not faith. And this is not trust. And this is something that I've had to learn over the past few years. That, you know what? That's not what God promises. to guarantee our outcomes the way we want it done, the way we want it guaranteed. That's not faith, and that's not trusting him. But I've been caught in that trap. Have you been caught in that trap? Just guarantee me this is going to work out, okay? Because for those of you who are new, you're watching online or you're in the room and you're pretty new to our church, we've experienced lots of change over the past few years. That change probably should have happened sooner, and I was the chief feet dragger in all of it, okay? I was, okay? Because there should have been stuff done sooner, and I'm just like, oh, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to work out. And God quite often just says, no, trust me. No, tell me it's all going to work out the way I want it to work out. No, trust me. And you kind of have this battle back and forth because you just want God to guarantee that you're going to get the outcome that you want. And eventually what God does is he just helps you get past that and you learn to trust him that he is going to work no matter what. Here is the real God guarantee. Here's what God does guarantee us. You ready for this? He will always keep his promises and he will always give us his presence. There's never a point where he says, yeah, I know I made that promise, but no, it's not good anymore, okay? God does, fortunately, can you understand how blessed we are? We never have an election year with God where he makes all these promises and he's gonna do all these things and then he just goes, oh, no, you elected me as God. I can just renege on all that now and in 4 years you can do it again. Aren't we so glad God doesn't operate like that? He always keeps his promises, always. That is a guarantee. And he always gives us his presence. There's a key part in the Great Commission where Jesus says what? I will be with you some of the time. I will be with you on Sundays when you're in the right building together. No, I will be with you always till the end of the age. Because that's what God promises us. He makes promises and he keeps them. And he gives us his presence. We never have to worry about hitting a point in our life where we're in it by ourselves trying to figure it out. That's the God guarantee. That's the shift that God had to take me over in the last few years. Because I just want to guarantee it's just going to work out. And it's going to work out the way I want it to work out. And I had to get past my feet dragging and begin to trust God that he is going to work in the midst of that. And so let me tell you, that was an important lesson to learn because now it's just, right? How far out do you make decisions and how quickly do you have to do things? I mean, people ask me about camp this year and we'll talk about it later. I don't know, God's gonna work the thing out. And they're like, who are you? I know, right? Because it's very different for me. Because when you just begin to trust God and you walk in that trust, guess what happens? You watch God come through and you finally get over your feet dragging ways and you just trust that God is who he says he is and he will do everything that he says he will do. He is going to keep his promise. He's always going to give us his presence and we never have to worry about trying to figure things out on our own or trying to get the outcome we want. We can trust that God is working and has a plan in the midst of everything. So, back to our story. Because this guy got it right. You need to understand this. This guy got it right. He did not go for a third time back. Jesus, wait a minute. If I go home and you're not with me, why my wife's going to kill me, okay? This whole plan was that you were going to come here, and she was good with that, okay? But if you're not there, I don't know what's going to happen, okay? He didn't go back and say, you have to. He didn't beg a third time. The man believed. You could insert the word trust. He trusted the word. What was the word? Your son will live. There's the promise. He believed it, that Jesus spoke to him, and he set off for home. Remember, he's got a day and a half journey. So he starts off for home. No more begging, no more pleading. No, can I get this in writing? Right? Nothing. He just believes, he trusts him, and he sets out for home. While he was on his way down, right? Because he's got this elevation change, so he's on his way home. His slaves met him and told him that his son was going to live. Okay? He doesn't even get home. Okay? He gets partway, and the servants of his house, the really slaves, they come out and they're looking for him to arrive. Your son is going to live. So he asked them, good question, right? He asked them what time that his condition began to improve. And they told him, yesterday, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the fever left him. And then the father realized that it was the very time Jesus had said to him, your son will live. He marked the time someplace and went, oh, yeah, I know what happened at 1 o'clock yesterday. 1 o'clock yesterday, this rabbi Jesus, who people believe is the Messiah, he spoke and he said, your son will live. And I took his word and I walked home. That's what happens at 1 o'clock yesterday. And so look what happens, okay? And he himself believed, right? He trusted even more. I am all in, Jesus, on what you're doing. And his entire household. Because what did he tell his entire household? Oh, it's a miracle. The kid just got well. No. It all happened at 1 o'clock yesterday. And at 1 o'clock yesterday, Jesus said, it's over, it's finished, it's done. Your son will live. And he takes that and he goes home and he tells them all about it. And the entire household believes. That is the effect of faith. That is the effect of trusting God. It is appealing to others to see that we trust God with our lives. In the midst of all that we have going on and all that we have going on, we trust God. And when people see that, do you understand how powerful a witness that is? For them to understand who Jesus is. So Jesus did this, wraps up. John kind of gives us a reference point. As the second miraculous sign when he returned from Judea to Galilee. This was number two, and this was number two for a reason. That this was done for a reason, it was done for a purpose, it was done for a plan, so that we, for example, would read this years later and go, oh, that's what faith looks like. I'm going to trust God with what he says, and I'm going to go off, and I'm going to do what he's asked me to do. And he goes home, and he watches what has happened. Faith. That's what I want to drill into you this morning. Faith is believing that God is who he says he is, and that he will do everything he says he will do. That's what it is. So that's where I know what God says, and I got this gap, because there's always a gap, right? There's always a gap, okay, but this is what God says to do, but I'm not sure, and when I'm going to stop my feet dragging ways and actually do it, okay, what I'm going to put in that gap is that God is who he says he is, and he will do everything he says he'll do, and therefore I can move forward. I just sit there and wonder, I don't sit there and delay, I don't sit there and wait and wait and wait. And it is amazing. I want you to take the gap and I want you to fill it with this. God is who he says he is, and that he will do everything he says he will do. Faith is the biggest ingredient to this type of life, because it's understanding that God has a purpose and a plan in everything. He has given us promises. He's offered us his presence. And there are going to be moments when there's gaps. And he just says, come on. You gonna trust me? Are you really? Are you going to trust me? And puts out his hands and says, I know there's a gap here, but I am who I say I am, and I'm going to do everything I say I'm going to do. Put that in that gap where there's just this uncertainty right now, because well, what's going to happen? And make that the guarantee that I have for you. Trusting God, in fact, is the only way to walk in this type of life that Jesus came to give. That I'm going to trust that God is who he says he is, and that he will do everything he says he will do. So, as I've done the last couple weeks, I want to ask questions so that you can think through where you are, where you might not be trusting God currently that you need to. Where's that gap for you that you need to fill with God is who he says he is, and he will do everything he says that he will do. Okay, I'm going to start with this one. When did God not come through for you? When did God not come through for you. You might have a moment, a situation. Let me tell you why this one's important. If we're honest, there have been moments in our life where we think God didn't come through for us. That's what we think. Well, God didn't come through for me because what happened shouldn't have happened. What happened shouldn't have happened. It's why I tell you all the time, and I sound like a broken record at times. It's why I need you to know that we live in a broken, fallen, messed up world. There's a reason I need you to know that. So when you experience pain and loss, you will not sit there and shake your fist at heaven as though God somehow did this to you. This is the result of sin in a broken, fallen, messed up world. That's what this is. And the pain you experience and the thing you think God lets you down on is part of living in a broken, fallen, messed up world. And if you're honest this morning, you can point to a time in your life where you think God did not come through for you. Ultimately, what you're saying is, well, God didn't guarantee it, and the outcome didn't go right, and you might have missed all along what God wanted to do in the midst of that pain and that hurt in your life. But you need to be honest about this. When do you believe that God did not come through for you? That's a big question. That I think if you can answer that, it's going to help you to know about those gaps that we are being invited to fill with, that God is who he says he is, and that he will do everything he says he will do. Number two, what is God asking you to do right now, but you have no guarantee it will work out? This is a fun question, right? What is it that you don't know about? Job change, right? Career shift, right? I don't know what I'm going to study. We have high schoolers in the room. I don't know what I'm going to do after high school, right? What are you going to do with that gap? What are you going to do with that gap of, okay, is this the right guy? Is this the right girl? Is it? I don't know. I have no guarantee. I want a guarantee. It's going to work out. No, you're asking the wrong question. Okay, is this what God wants you to do? Is this a good choice, a right choice? And you know you should do it, but gosh, you just have no guarantee it's going to work out. I want you to think about that moment. I want you to think about that thing. What's stopping you? What is stopping you from acting? What is stopping you from taking the next step? Because when I see those things, I'm just telling you, confession time for me, I'm just dragging my feet because I just don't know. I don't know how this is going to go. Really, God, I got to present this in a business meeting. Can I make sure it's not a potluck beforehand so they're throwing stuff at me, right? You just ask weird questions. I do, because I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. Change the name of the church? I don't know. That's a big deal, right? All these different things. And I had to just get to the point of stop dragging my feet. And I'm telling you, the past year, even though for the most part I have not liked the past year, it has been very good for me to stop dragging my feet and realizing, you know, all the planning in the world doesn't fix things and it doesn't guarantee you anything. It just doesn't. Where's God asking you? What is he asking you to do right now? But you are dragging your feet. I don't know. I'm not sure. Because you have no guarantee it will work out. This is going to help you understand this thing called faith. How is your giving? Some of you are like, that has nothing to do with faith. That has everything to do with faith. It really does. It really has everything to do with faith. Do you realize that just by giving, you help to train yourself and to teach yourself, hey, this is what faith is like. Stop watching the guys at 3 o'clock in the morning with the bottles of spring water telling you, buy the spring water, pour it on whatever you want, and God will give it to you. Turn them off. Just telling you, don't watch them. There are so many individuals who for gain have told things about scripture and giving that are just not true. They're just not true. There are no verses that say that. There's no verses to talk about that. They have totally concocted it for their own gain. Stop listening to them, okay? Giving is so much about faith. I am going to trust God with what he's given to me, and I'm going to trust that I'm going to give, and that's going to be a part of my life, and I am going to act out of faith and do that. That's why we give. Okay? And so if you struggle with that, that could be an indication you are struggling. You're like, yeah, but I looked at my budget. I looked at my budget. Really? And you can't give God anything? I doubt that. I do. I doubt it. And it's easy now. Do you know how easy it is now to set stuff up and just have it come out? And you're like, oh, yeah. I wake up on Friday morning, I have my email from the church. Thank you for giving, okay? Oh, that's right, I did that, right? I set that all up. I totally forgot about that, okay? It is so easy now to put yourself in a pattern of being able to do this. This could be an indication to you that you're struggling with God as who he says he is, and he will do everything he says he will do. How are you doing on your giving? Do you recognize we had some easy opportunities this year? I mean, the government just gave us money, okay? How hard was that to take part of that and give it to the church? I know you can give me your arguments. Yeah, but that's my money. I mean, I already paid taxes on that. My money, I've already read. Argue away. I'm just telling you, that can be an indication of how you're doing on this thing of trusting God. Forget I give and God gives me everything I want. I'm just telling you, throw that nonsense out, okay? Not true. This is an indication. We give because everything we have is a gift from God. You don't have anything that you just produced yourself. God has given you those abilities. He has given you those jobs. He has given you those opportunities. He's given us everything. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, including the place you live, the job you have, and the finances you have. What are you doing with that? Are you just giving that back to God because he has given everything to you? This can just help you to understand how you're doing, how you are doing on this area of faith. And am I filling that gap with God is who he says he is, and he will do everything he says that he will do. So, to wrap up this morning, Zoe's always missed when trusting God is absent. When you're waiting for God to give you some sort of guarantee, some sort of writing on the sky that it's all going to work out the way I want it to work out, the way you want it to work out. God wants to tell us, I have the best outcome in mind for you. And he puts out his hand and says, trust me. Trust me. Trust me with your money. Trust me with your choices. Trust me with your job. Trust me with your life. Here's the great part. That type of life has no regrets. I'm serious. That type of life has no regrets. You don't sit there and go, I gave too much to the church. Right? No, nobody does that. Man, I did too much for God. No, those are not lives of regrets. Those are life that are lived fully experiencing this life that Jesus came to give. And I don't want anybody in the room watching online, I want anybody to miss this life. You will miss it if you just want God to guarantee everything, that it all work out the way you want it to, if you are not trusting him. So we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to help us to show us in our life where we are missing out on this thing called trust, and where we need to start filling that gap with God is who he says he is, and he will do everything he says he will do. And then we'll ask you to stand, and we're going to worship together one last time. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you would give us a moment of clarity. Excuses just get dropped. We need you to help us just drop the excuses. And we need you to help us to know we're not trusting you. Where we want to know, it's all going to work out. When we follow your word, when we know the promises that you've made, we don't need some sort of guarantee it's going to work out the way I want it. We just need to know you're in control and charge. And we just need to walk in the path that you have set before us. So, Father, show us where we are not trusting you. Show us where we are missing out on this thing called trust. Show us. help us. Because there's always a gap between what you're asking us to do and the certainty of what's going to happen. I pray this morning we start filling that gap with that you are who you say you are and that you will do everything you say that you will do. So reveal to us where it is that we have stopped filling that gap with trust. We're just dragging our feet. And we are not trusting you to work and move in our lives. So help us this morning to make that a reality, that we would understand that, and that we would walk in that truth. Help us to be honest. Help us to evaluate, and help us to live a life that fully trusts you. And we will, again, Father, we know you have the best in store for us. May we walk in that today. In Jesus' name, amen.